better put him in the Heisman.
Got that wood right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team is on the way back. A College World Series title. The Bomb Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Not only this year, but even heading into next year, if this is the staff that's going to lead this team and try to get things back on the right track for Arkansas, knowing how young they are, knowing how talented that you're hopeful that some of these guys will develop into studs, which it looks like a few of them, especially the young guys, will. What's kind of the expectation going forward? And, you know, it's always tough because here we are, five games into the season.
Yeah.
Arkansas sitting at 2-3. Honestly, they should be at least 4-1, but that's neither here nor there. But you are what your record says you are. You're 2-3. You have some guys that some people are really excited about. You mentioned the starters that are going to be coming back next year, assuming that everyone does come back and no one leaves early or anything like that. It seems like you will be in good position to really take that next step. But here's the whole problem, though. First off, that's maybe putting the cart before the horse a little bit. But also, you got to take that next step this year, too. I mean, Tommy, do you feel like they've taken any steps forward this year yet?
Yeah.
You do think that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, quarterback play is much better, right? Even with Hicks in, do you think Ty Story or Cole Kelly could have come in or started the game and been and accomplished what the quarterbacks combined did?
No.
Against State and played as well?
No.
No. So, I mean, that's one. I mean, that to me is an easy one right there. Wide receivers, much better. Now, they're young. They make mistakes. Got to get Trey Knox healthy again and back on the field. Burks appears to be. You know, I see people comparing him on Twitter to, you know, an Anthony Eubanks kind of guy or some of the great receivers we've seen at Arkansas. So, no, I think this team has taken a step forward. I think the division, unfortunately, it seems like anytime Arkansas does anything to even minuscule improvement, here comes the league back with, you know, four juggernauts in the division. So, I mean, that's just the way it is, and you got to take advantage of the spots where you can be competitive. But, no, I think there is much improvement. It's just that's how far back you were. You know, you got a ton of ways to go, long miles to go.
Yeah, well, individually, I get what you're saying because I do think, yeah, in certain positions, quarterback being one of them for sure, the team has improved. I think, and of course, if you look at statistically through this point last year, the defense has improved, even though it frustrates people. It has improved. You know, so there are some elements that you can look at, but at the end of the day, though, it's like, you're 2-3, and you've lost for one game for sure that was just humiliatingly embarrassing, and you played well in this game, and I give them credit, but this game always does this. They always get close with it, and it never necessarily plays out to success later down the year.
Regardless of coach, they always play close.
Yeah.
Hey, Chad Morris came in and got this Southwest Classic back to being at least competitive on the field.
No,
Bielema had it competitive, too.
Yeah. In fact, you know, there was times he had big leads in games and should have won them that way.
Here's the thing I feel very confident in saying. If Arkansas would have played at the level they did Saturday, obviously it wasn't good enough to beat A&M. But I believe that level of play was good enough to be, now would have been 4-1 following a loss to A&M. They could have been 4-0 going into that game. Obviously, the level of play against San Jose State, we don't need to go back into that. I believe they'd have beaten Ole Miss if they'd have played as well as they did on Saturday against A&M.
Yeah, I do too.
And obviously they played good enough to win the other two games. So that level of play is what's been missing to this point. We would have a much different attitude, a much different approach, a much different feeling about Chad Morris and his coaching staff if they were 4-1 today.
Oh,
with a
completely
4-point loss to Texas A&M.
I mean,
be a whole different perspective on what's going on around here.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, Tommy, is I hate keep bringing up last year, but that was the same thing we said, because even though the team wasn't that good, those games that they were close in, if they just would have found a way to win, if they would have found a way to beat Colorado State, if they would have found a way to beat Ole Miss and Little Rock when they had that big lead, and even just finish the season at 5-7, even 4-8, people would say, hey, no one's happy about it, but that was, considering all the talent levels or the talent deficiencies, you say, that would have been okay. But I just don't want to get into a point, and I know still, it's only five games in, still got seven games left this season.
Yeah.
There's a lot of games left. There's a lot of season left. I get it. But at the end of the season, I don't want to come back here on this show and looking at a team that went 3-9 or 4-8 and say, wow, you know, it's not happy, but they should have done this, this, that, and the other. They get those games, and it's a completely different season. We feel a different way. You are what your record says you are.
Yep.
And right now, you're 2-3. Right now, you're riding a 12-game SEC losing streak. The record is 17, Tommy, and we remember how the 17-game losing streak in the SEC went. That was, of course, dating from the John L. Smith era into the second year of Brett Bielema. It was a long time. But my question is, are you going to prevent you from breaking that record this year?
Well, I mean, to me, there's three games they got a good chance to win an SEC, or the best shots to win, in no particular, Missouri, Mississippi State, and then the next one they play against Kentucky. So, I mean, to me, Auburn doesn't appear at this point, based on what we know, to be a winnable game. Bama and LSU don't appear to be winnable games at this point.
Not at all.
So, those are the six. Three you have left, I think you got a really good shot at. Now, you're not going to be favored. You're going to be an underdog. You got one of those games at home, two of them on one in Little Rock. I keep saying that's on the road. It's in Little Rock with Missouri, and then a road game. So, hey, I expect them to win at least one of those three. And I think two of those three are possible. I don't expect anything against Bama, LSU, or Auburn.
Nor should anybody. I mean,
I hope to be competitive and be within 10 in the fourth quarter. In two of those, probably going to get wiped out in another one.
I mean, have you seen what Alabama and LSU have been doing offensively? Good grief. They just pick their score that they
want
to
see,
win.
Did you see, I don't know if you watched SEC Now Saturday night when everything was done, but Chris Doering's got him, got Auburn as the number one team in the country in his top five.
Really? I guess
Chizik had him at number five.
Based on the teams they've played.
Just based on who they've played and what he's seen, and you can't say Auburn's not in the conversation with Georgia, Bama, and LSU at this point in this league.
I have a lot more quality wins than Clemson or Alabama.
They beat a good Oregon team to start the year.
That's a good point.
They destroyed Mississippi State. You can put whatever value you want on that, but they didn't just win. They hammered them. So, I mean, Auburn at this point, based on who everyone's played, is in the conversation. Alabama has been pretty overwhelming, though, offensively. It's hard to mark them down, neither.
Yeah. That's for sure. Let's go back to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Danny is in Russellville. What's going on, Danny?
Good morning, guys. We had some positive things happen. The pass breakups, we had two or three of those where we actually got our hand in there and knocked down a pass. And we got some sacks. But we missed too many tackles to win an SEC game, at critical times. Bumper Pool and Dejon Harris both missed wide open tackles that led to scores that maybe we could have held them to field goals. Until we stop that stuff, we're not going to be able to win a SEC game. But we're coming. I think that if we're going to win, we're going to have to score 40 points. And our offense is getting better. What do you guys, you think we can score 40 against Kentucky?
Here's what I saw. There wasn't as many there were still some pre-snap penalties and mistakes. But Arkansas didn't beat Arkansas Saturday.
Yeah.
Got down to the end, and Arkansas had the ball and
just had make
a chance. Just couldn't make the play.
What was disappointing, guys? Two or three plays there in a row, our offensive line just couldn't keep their defensive line out of the backfield. And I kind of blame the coaches a little for play calling on that last play because they were zeroed in on Cheyenne O'Grady when the other team knew we were going to go to him, and we didn't have time. They were in our backfield, right?
But didn't the ball?
I mean,
didn't the ball hit?
Line just did not hold him out.
But didn't the ball hit him kind of like right in the shoulder pads, right in the hands?
Yeah, it was a flutterer, and it bounced off the other guy, and he could have caught it, but he didn't. He wasn't able to.
But, I mean, Danny, want to give the ball to – or try to get your ball in the hands of your best player? Yeah.
Danny, who do you trust more than Cheyenne O'Grady? Boyd would be the only person.
I'm all for that, but, we just needed a first down there. When it's, 4 or 5 yards? All for getting that first down, then regroup.
Would you run it? I mean, would you do anything other than throw it?
Oh, no.
I mean, you got to throw it. So who else would you want – who is your most trusted receiver? Shine O'Grady.
Well, the problem was he didn't have time to throw it. They were in his face in about 1 second. Mm. That's where the problem came in. Our offensive line whiffed on several blocks.
But you questioned the play call. So I'm still saying the play call still should have went to O'Grady.
I don't mind going O'Grady, just something really quick, you know, because they were coming. And Tommy, your little wife, you can be a hero tomorrow night. Take her out on a date and go to ArcBest Arena and see a good a cappella concert home free, and you'll be a hero.
Thanks for taking my call, guys. Thanks, Danny. I need all the help I can get at home, you know. Don't we all, though?
Yeah.
No. Don't we all?
Well, and to go back to your point, Danny, you know, as far as the play calling goes, I actually thought the play calling was done really well in this game. I did. I thought that, you know, given the type of matchup they had against A&M is going to be difficult. And there was a lot of people, too, that were wondering, why in the world was that so many steps on that drop back in the final play of the game by Hicks? Why was he backing up so much? My theory behind the whole thing is that if you had seen the past few drives by Ben Hicks in Arkansas, there was 4 batted down passes at the line of scrimmage that Texas A&M had, something, 3 or 4. And I think that they were just trying to get some extra space between the defenders that were coming in hot to keep from a ball being batted down once again. Yeah. So, again, I had no problem with the play calling, and especially that last play. Get it to the hands of your playmaker, which is O'Grady.
Yeah. Hey, is your home in Arkansas 10 years old, at least 10 years old, and served by OG&E? If you can say yes to those questions, you need to call OG&E about their free home weatherization program that will increase your comfort and lower your bills. A trained crew will come out and do an energy audit, then install measures that could include attic insulation, LED light bulbs, weather stripping, power strips, smoke alarms, and a whole lot more, and it's all absolutely free. 1-800-272-9741. That's 1-800-272-9741 for OG&E's free home weatherization program.
Let's go back to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Jesse is in Missouri. What's going on, Jesse?
Hey, man, what's up?
Not much.
I was very proud of the Razorbacks this week. They showed vast improvements. I think their head was in the game. I think Ben did a great job of distributing the ball, just the knockdown passes. But we also quit running the ball in the second half, and I think that kind of hurt us. But we played our best game since Chad Morris has been here, I do believe. And I have faith in Chad Morris. Plus, this week off is going to give time for the coaches to go out and see other high school recruits. Give us some more. I know there's some linebackers. We need some linebackers and other positions also. But I think we've made vast improvements. I'm not going to say we're going to yet beat Alabama or Auburn, but there's a couple of games out there I do believe that we're able to win. And I'm a first-time caller. Thanks for you guys' work. I appreciate it.
Well, yeah. Jesse, thanks for listening, and thanks for giving us a call today.
Yeah, and I appreciate your phone call, man. You know, if we're going off of some of the comments you made about, you know, being proud of the way the Razorbacks played, I get that. I totally get that. The most frustrating thing about this, and I mentioned this on the postgame show, and I get all that matters is the final score. I get that. But Arkansas had 55 more total yards offensively. They had more passing yards. They had more rushing yards. They had less penalty yardage. They had more first downs. They had a better third down conversion rate. They had more sacks, more tackles for loss. It's just they had less turnovers. Those are the things that just frustrate you when if I would have told you before the game, Tommy, that Arkansas was going to lead A&M in every one of those stats, you probably think Arkansas would win, but they didn't, because at the end of the day, the final score is all that matters.
But there were 6 or 7 of us watching the game together, and nobody in the group no one was willing to stand up and confidently say when they had the ball, fourth quarter, chance to go and score and win the game. Nobody said, yeah, they're going to do this. Mm-hmm. Here we go. Guys, we're getting ready to win the game.
Tommy, what did I keep saying?
Here's the thing. I don't know what the team's mindset is. I don't know what Ben Hicks at that moment was thinking, or Rakeem Boyd or Cheyenne O'Grady, or just keep going down the list of players. But you got to get to a point where everyone believes you're going to win. Hopefully that team believed a lot more than our group did, because nobody in our group thought about winning. But, you know, like when the Patriots have the ball or Alabama has the ball with 3 minutes to go and they're down four, you don't ever question whether or not they're going to get down there and score, you know, with 3 minutes to go or whatever it was at that point.
No.
But no one believed, hey, this is going to turn into a winning drive right here.
What I keep saying, Tommy, we all know how this ends. We all know how it ends.
So you just got to get it back to a point where there's some confidence in what's going on.
Yeah, especially from the fan base for sure. We got a lot of people calling in the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Let's keep it going with Eddie, who is in Clarksville. Good morning, Eddie.
Good morning, gentlemen. I said last week, starting Wednesday of last week, just about every talk show in the state, that this fan base is going to be watching this game. And win or lose a game, I was talking about that performance poll. Where were we going to be as a coaching staff and team play? And to me, we made a little movement on that poll. But we dominated the game just about every category, and we still lost the game. And I try to get this coaching staff and the players to understand two things. One, when you come prepared, your performance is going to be better. And overall performance, the team play works better. The one weakness I see is this team that I see Saturday. And you need to focus in on this before we go to Kentucky. As working 35 years at two of the biggest companies in the world, if they have a weakness, it will tell me whether it's in customer service, whether it's in their operation, whether it's in within their fleet, within UPS and Walmart. They target in on that weakness. And the number one weakness that costs us this game, in my opinion, is tackling. Yards after the play, when you have them contained, big plays that prevented us from getting this win. And so, if you could just horn in, just 25% better on your tackling, you're going to see results at the end of the game with a W instead of an L. And so I'm asking and making a plea to Coach Morris. By the way, Coach Morris, you got to look at this Hog team as your company. You're the CEO of this company, and I'm telling you, your number one weakness preventing you, you need to horn in on that. And as a team, overall performance was a lot better. See, when you come prepared, what happens? When you come prepared to play a football game, I don't care who the opponent is, look, without a doubt, Texas A&M had more 4 and 5 stars than you by far. But you outplayed them and actually should have won the game, and you beat them in every category except the scoreboard, and that's because of your tackling. And I said one thing. Another thing, and I'll let other callers call in. Listen to this. I said to beat A&M, you had to think outside the box. Coach Morris, here's another thing this week. Well, you got to buy away. You need to horn in on tackling. And number two, you got to get something in your arsenal that outside the box. I don't know whether it's a reverse play, a trick play that we haven't seen yet. You're an offensive-minded coach, Coach Morris. You've got to get something in your repertoire that other teams hadn't seen before. And we cannot afford to lose. At least, hey, I watched Kentucky play Saturday. This is a winnable game. But if you don't go out there and hold in on this weakness as I see preventing us from getting wins, you will lose this game. If you don't put something in your arsenal that they hadn't seen before, you will lose this game. If you go out there not prepared as a team to play a football game, you will lose this game. Thank you for taking my call.
Okay, thanks, Eddie. And yes, tackling was, forget what, Tommy, was it the last drive of Texas A&M, the one when they went ahead to go ahead score where it was third down and long, and Scooter Harris just whiffed on Kellen Mond when he was trying to keep him contained. And, you know, those are the plays, just, man, if your senior leader, the guy that you got to count on in that, you know, could have changed the entire game. Because imagine if it was only I guess at that point it would have been 28-27. Arkansas has Connor Limpert, great weapon. Yeah, I mean, I know he missed one earlier, but
the way he missed one at the start of the game,
right? And it was a 51 yarder, 52 yarder, something like that. Yeah. So I mean, not going to completely and totally blame him for that.
He missed it twice, kind of.
Yeah, well, that was a whole debacle within itself. But yeah, tackling definitely has to get there. Let's keep the phone lines going. The Cherokee Casino Hotline. JR is in Marshall. What's going on, JR?
Hey guys, how y'all doing?
Great, man. How about you?
I'm doing fine. The effort was there Saturday. I really thought that they, you know, stepped up and realized that they needed, you know, realizing what mistakes were made last Saturday. Whenever when you do that, you know, and you can improve on it, that's a positive that you can build on, you know, for going into your next, you know, the rest of your season. So I think the team did that as a whole. And, you know, I thought their effort was there. But, you know, when you talk about coaching and you see what's going on, Mark Stoops, you know, I think when I was watching that game the other night, when I turned it off, I think they were 1 of 19 on third downs. Did you guys heard that about their offense?
Yes. Yes, I'd heard that.
Yeah, so I mean, there is really that's a game that we could come out on top in. I mean, they, you know, their offense is just struggling really bad right now. Mm-hmm. So I think we can go on Kentucky. I think we can win that. Mississippi State looks like a very winnable game. And Missouri, you know, if they keep the attitude up they're going right now, you know, hopefully they can build upon that and get going. But, I mean, how long has Stoops been at Kentucky? How long has he been there?
Oh, it's 2013. I think him and Bielema arrived at the same time. So 2013, yeah. I believe.
Yep.
So he had a 10-game season last year, right?
Yeah, yep. He improved every single year he was coach.
Right. So he lost his starting quarterback, and now he's in the situation he's in right now.
Right.
Will Muschamp, I'm assuming they won. They're 2-4 or 2-3 right now, correct?
Correct.
Correct.
So both those programs look like they're struggling pretty bad.
That was South Carolina's first FBS win of the year.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah. So people that want, here's the thing, you know, when you're talking about getting rid of a, you know, Chad Morris, you know, especially in the middle of the season or whatever, I mean, it's just not a vending machine that you can go and drop a coin in and pull somebody out of, you know. So,
yeah.
Anyway, thanks for my call.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Everybody's staying home. Now he does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're at number 3, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
Let's go to the phone lines. Nelson is in Harrison. What's going on, Nelson?
Hey, guys. I'm still part of the working world. I went over there and seen the fine folks at Cherokee Casino, and didn't quite make it to the bonus round.
Oh. You didn't win the million, huh?
Oh, man.
No. But anyways, what I want to call about is basically what was being talked about earlier. You know, there was penalties, and, I mean, the pass could have been caught, the last pass by Cheyenne O'Grady, and he pretty much said that in his post-game press, whenever he was talking to the press. You know, he said that free snap penalty was on him. He said that he thought that he was supposed to be moved, and he ended up moving himself, and that made 2 men in motion because he thought he was supposed to be moved in that play. And then he also said on the last play that, you know, he kind of had gave up on the ball before he got there. He said, I figured it'd be tipped or intercepted because I seen that he was about halfway down before the ball even started going out because, I mean, that was the case. Ben Hicks was giving it everything he had and still got it there. But Cheyenne said he was pretty much surprised that it got there. And that's the mentality that we're talking about with you guys, you know, is they're like, if they can get to the Patriots or the Broncos or, you know, any of the great teams, you know, that it's going to happen no matter what. You can't be thinking, well, it's not going to make it. You got to think. You got to get the mentality that it's going to happen. You know, we're going to win this game. So But that says a lot, and that's a lot for accountability, you know, that Cheyenne would step up and say that.
Yeah.
Because he's like, you know, he's like, I really didn't see any way of him getting it there, but he got it there. You know, it kind of surprised me that the ball got to me because of everything that's going on.
Yeah.
And Nelson, that's
the thing is that, you know, trying to overcome this culture that they've had, or at least the overcoming of confidence that they have in one another, is a difficult thing. And the only way that you can fix that is by actually overcoming it. You know, if that play would have been made, or if Arkansas would have found a way to get it into the end zone late in the game and found a way to win, I mean, that changes everything, because then it goes to where if you're in that situation once again where the game's on the line, you're down and you're needing a touchdown winning drive, you have confidence in each other, you have confidence in your coaching staff, you have confidence all around to say, hey, we've done this before, we can do it again. And until that point happens, this might just be a mentality that they have. It's just really difficult to overcome it, Nelson.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying, you know, is that the coaches can put them in the right spots, the players can be in the right spots, but their mentality you just go on what happened. And if you've had good things happen, then it continues to happen like that. And if you had bad things happen to you, You're in that mentality. They got to break that, and like you said, they got to have good things happen. I want to say one more thing. I know that people are all over this coaching staff. They're all over, you know, think they know what's going on. You don't know what's going on with the players. You don't know when they've, you know, you don't know when that defeat of attitude has hit them, you know. I mean, like Cheyenne just said, though, in that press conference, anybody that watches it can hear him plainly say, it was my fault. You know, I pretty much was like, there's no way this ball's getting to me. Two players on me. He's getting sacked. So, but guys, we just need to hang with them. And these people that want to talk about the play calling was spot on. I mean, I really think I don't think there was any thing going on with the play calling this week that would have, you know, that changed the outcome of the game. I think they got them in the right spots. And there's one more thing I wanted to say, and there's a penalty that didn't get called that I think meant a lot to the game. All the other stuff, it's part of the game. But whenever that guy suplexed Ben Hicks, that should have been called. That was a major part of the game.
All right, well, appreciate your phone call, Nelson, and appreciate your thoughts, man. Appreciate you holding them. Sorry you didn't win anything big over at the Cherokee Casino.
Yeah, we're hoping you'd have won the million.
Yeah, you were walking right into
Remembered
it.
Remembered your friendly radio guys here.
Yeah, that's right. But you agree, though, Tommy. It's a mentality that they have to overcome, but it's not overcome until you actually overcome, until you actually do it.
I mean, I know we're watching the game. We're not playing the game, but no one we were watching the game with, me, you, Ty, none of us thought that, hey, they're going to win this game on this final drive. Now, the key is, do the players, do the coaches, the players, does everybody involved that's actually executing this stuff believe it? Clay, I don't know what your feeling was, or if you had a feeling either way, but you know, I never thought for a minute that they were going to take that ball and go down the field in the final minutes and win the football game.
Well, I did when I saw Hicks make the play, you know, the 17-yard run, you know, after the sack, and that was a play, and I was like, this is a guy that's led a game-winning drive. I mean, he did it a bunch at SMU. I mean, he beat Tulane twice like that. I'm not saying Tulane's Texas A&M. They're not anywhere as good as Texas A&M. But he thought he could do it. And he fought on that play. He was about to get sacked, and he was about to get sacked on the last play. And his play should give the team confidence. And I think Starkel can do it too. And that they both have the gumption to, you know, to lead a team in that situation. So I talked to Ben Hicks afterwards, and he said, I hope what we did down at the end, where we just kept chugging along through all the penalties, tells the guys that we can do it and that we should have some confidence. Now, what we just went through with Cheyenne, that's 4 years of that frustration of it ain't going to happen. Yeah, and I mean, I'm going to draw a correlation. You know, the guys on the PGA Tour, they say over and over, you got to get there in that final pairing quite a few times before you finally, your nerves settle out to where you can perform and you don't look for the bad instead of look for the good. It is a tough thing to do in sports, and it's the nerves and all the mental aspect of it is huge in that situation, and we just heard it. So, but yeah, I think that there is, as far as the fans and, you know, in the media, that we've all seen it so many times that, yeah, it's like, you know, it's deja vu. It's going to be, it's like Groundhog Day. I mean, you know, get up and do it again tomorrow. Yeah.
So what are you hearing with Starkle? We're you know, left arm contusion. Obviously, he couldn't come back and play after the injury. What do you think the future is? And do we have a quarterback controversy?
Well, I mean, I think the head coach settled that right after the game. And the good news is that you can play either one of them. So if he's not ready, I think Hicks played much better in this game. I mean, you saw him react instead of wait. I mean, it was deliver the ball. The ball came out on time. He did a lot of things really good. Instead of maybe watching Starkle, you know, just cut it loose and rip it, helped him. So I think you've got two quarterbacks that can play. I like Starkle more because it does look like it's a better arm, but Hicks didn't look like the same quarterback that we saw the previous 2 weeks. I guess it will make it easier if Starkle is struggling for the coach to say, all right, we're going to go to Hicks right here. He was close to being able, Starkle was close to being able to play. He could not grip the ball with his left hand. He couldn't squeeze it. And you've got to be able to hold, you know, you got to have some feeling in that hand. And that's what happens with a bruise. And it's not a significant thing, but, you know, that's part of playing quarterback, being able to feel and hold the ball. He could throw it because it's his right. He throws it with the right, but the contusion was on his left. So, really close to being able to play in that situation. I'm sure he'll be fine by the Kentucky game.
Hey, Williams Tractor has the PowerStar family of tractors made by New Holland with 6 different models to choose from to tackle all the jobs you have around the farm, municipal grounds, jobs, and any small farm tasks that you need to do with ease. 64 to 117 engine horsepower, 2 different cab options to choose from as well with the open-air ROPS or the spacious Vision View cabs as well. Learn more about the PowerStar family of tractors at Williams Tractor in Fayetteville, Berryville, and Bobcat in Northwest Arkansas and Rogers.
Now, Clay, I know that Arkansas's offense, they had some bright spots, and I think Ben Hicks played well and Starkle played well before, of course, getting injured in that. But just out of curiosity, how much more of an impact would it have had offensively if they had Trey Knox healthy? Because, listen, we know the type of playmaker that he can be, but and we know it would have been nothing but a positive impact, but would just having a player like him out there on the field as a threat at least been a huge difference in this game?
I mean, I think it would have been a difference. What I will say is the other guys that played in his place, whether it be Coylon Jackson or Tyson Morse, they played pretty well. Would they have been able to sling, you know, if say Trey Knox had been out there instead of Tyson Morris on the long pass that where they slung him out of bounds, I don't think you sling Trey Knox out of bounds.
No.
I mean, that's a play where you think that might have been a completion. That might have been, you know, a big play. Instead of a 15-yard penalty, maybe it's a 30-yard catch. Yeah, so I mean, it's another weapon, and he is, you know, he's been their top weapon going in. So yeah, I mean, it'd be the same as losing Rakeem Boyd, and then all at once just having Devoir Whaley is your next back. You lose that great, you know, second back. Good to get T.J. Hammonds back, and you can see, you know, that he can do some things in the open field. I thought it was really obvious that they were better in the secondary with Monteric Brown back, you know, that gave them a boost in the secondary. So they got some guys back. You're right, losing him. And he should be back. It's a hip injury. He should be back for the Kentucky game.
Well, and Clay, I don't know if you noticed this. This is something that I was watching on TV, so maybe you had a better idea of watching it. But there seemed like a guy like Michael Woods, he was struggling as far as getting lined up correctly. There were some times where he ran the wrong routes, kind of almost had another collision with Rakeem Boyd on a run. And I don't know, did you notice that as well with Michael Woods? Was that problematic, or was it just maybe the times and plays that I saw it on television?
I saw it a couple of times. Yeah. I don't know how many other times it was, but yeah, there's you know, as far as the slickness and the polish, and that was a much more creative game plan. There was a lot different, a lot more motions, a lot more things. I would say the bells and whistles were all there, and it was a more complex offense for everybody. So, and how many times it was his fault, how many times it wasn't, I'm not sure. But yeah, I saw that with some other guys too. It was just, you know, where Hicks and Starkle were shoving people, and you know, like maybe they got it, and they're looking at the sideline, and maybe they didn't read the signs right or understand this means that. So, yeah. But I mean, the good news is I like the way they jam some more stuff in there for them to, it would be, make it a little tougher for the Aggies, but they didn't run it like they've been playing it forever. It looked like they'd had 1 week of preparation and they didn't have it now.
Yeah. Talking about guys back and getting healthy, Colton Jackson being back, that offensive line, what was your evaluation of how they played? Because it looked more fluid, even though there was some pressure on the quarterback.
They weren't bad. You know, I guess there were two sacks and there was another play or two where they batted down balls because they got through. I saw that, you know, it was once late in the game, Colton, you know, could have stepped in to stop that guy, and he didn't. And that resulted in a batted down pass. He's not perfect, but he's better than Cunningham. And the physical play up front was better. It's still not what they need to be, but if they can just keep, like I said, if they can just keep this offensive line together and let them grow, let them continue to mesh, I think they'll win some games before it's over. I think they'll win some SEC games this year if they can just stay healthy and keep growing with that offensive line. Because what you're saying, Tommy, is that was a step forward, in my opinion.
I agree. One other noticeable change or difference for this game was John Chavis being upstairs in the box versus on the sideline. What difference did you see in the defense or maybe in the way they went about the coaching as far as, I know it's hard to tell about the communication, but they've had Steve Caldwell up there, now John Chavis is in the box. Did anything stand out to you there?
Well, they didn't turn as many people loose. And how much that changed their scheme and their calls, I'm not sure. But it was a better performance. That's all I can tell you. I don't know if that's why it was. Mm-hmm. We'll have to say, okay, let's do that again, because it was a better performance. And I think there's a comfort level with him being in the box because that's where he's been, and you can spread your stuff out. And, I mean, that sounds real simple, but I mean, I think it's being organized and having, you know, in eliminating some distractions that are happening around you. And, you know, if that's where, you know, I think that at some point he wanted to be down there so he could talk to his linebackers between snaps, but maybe he's talked to them enough that they know what he's going to say and that they don't need that as much. I've always heard that it's the communication on the field between possessions where, you know, the coaches that go from the box that go down there, they think that's important. But you definitely lose something. Your vision isn't the same.
Yeah.
Anybody that's been on the field and thinks they could do it from the sideline, I don't know. I don't see how you could. I've always felt like you should be in the box if you're a coordinator.
Monday Morning Quarterback brought to you by Crabtree RV and Alma. Save up to $15,000 off on new fifth wheels and up to $10,000 off on new travel trailers. You can also check out the new 2020 models from Grand Design, Coachman Freedom Express, and others right now at Crabtree RV and Alma. Crabtree RV, it's where your family's dreams come true. One thing you also do, Clay, is you somewhat remove yourself from the emotion of it, where you can be a little more analytical, maybe not
I think you're wrapped up in
the game, and you got a little quieter space to think through it in between possessions.
Distractions and being able to be organized. I think that's the way I would characterize it, and I think you're on target, Tommy, exactly.
Well, and Steve Caldwell and John Chavis have worked together for, 16 or 17 seasons total now. I would imagine their ability to communicate and know what each other wants, even though they're separated by a few hundred feet, it's pretty comforting for those two that he can radio down and talk to Caldwell and get what he wants done accomplished on that sideline.
Yeah, it's more than that, too. And I think that some people separate offense and defense. But there are times where, okay, Joe Craddock's there. He's got John Chavis there, too. So he can tell him without cluttering the headsets, hey, this is happening in the secondary. I see this because he's watching defense. He sees it too. And the same thing, Joe Craddock can say, hey, this is what I see them doing offensively. And I mean, this is how you're getting attacked. And this is what, you know, so it's another set of eyes, and the communication happens so much easier when you're side by side, eye contact, put your hand on his arm and say, coach, this is what's going on now. And I think those guys work well together. I'm talking about Craddock and Chavis. So putting those two guys together, you know, an experienced guy with a younger guy, it helps them both, I think.
Let's go to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Brent is in Stuttgart. What's going on, Brent?
Oh, I'm just a first-time caller, and Clay knows who this is. But I wanted to say a little bit about the game on Saturday. For some reason in football, there are just teams, no matter what the talent difference or level, that you match up well against. I don't know. I cannot explain it. I don't know the reasons for it. But the one thing I would say that this team needs to, they do not know how to win. And until they played better, but until they're able to put away a game late, make a long drive, kick a field goal to win a game with a minute left, that is when this team will take the next step. And that's all I had to say. And if I could, I can't pick you up. Could I listen to your response on the phone?
Of course. Yeah, we can put you on hold for that. Yeah, and
thanks, Brent. Yeah, and first of all, Brent's an old friend, and wherever I've been doing radio, Brent would be our number one caller. So just to kind of set things in motion here, his dad's Mike Bender, who coached the offensive line at Arkansas, and Mike is a good dear friend, the late Mike Bender. So it's good to hear Brent's voice, and there's not a more passionate Razorback fan through the years than Brent Bender. You know, it's what I saw was being close enough to smell it, but not being able to taste it. And, you know, I don't know if you follow the difference between those, but the play that I thought was huge, and I wrote about it, it's 3rd and 9. Arkansas had cut it to 1. Texas A&M's got the ball on their own 28. Pass play was called. Kellen Mond stayed in the pocket a little too long, and it would have been, it was a great coverage play. Dijon Harris is the spy in charge of Mond. Mond breaks out of the pocket, runs straight to him. Scooter breaks down in perfect position. Mond makes a cut. He's not able to tackle him, and it's a 4-yard cushion when he made his cut that Dijon was not able to go with him. And that's athletic ability. You got it on one player. Scooter Harris does not have great athletic ability. He's a, you know, in the trenches, great linebacker, but in space. The play went for, I think, 18 yards. You make that play, you get the ball back at, you know, 40-yard line. You're going to pin them back. It is a crucial play in the game. Yet, that's not one anybody remembers, right? But to me, that was a microcosm of the game, because it's, you've done everything right. You've gone down, you've kicked a field goal, you cut it to 1, you're going to get it back, and then all you need is a field goal to win the game. And he makes the play. They go on to kick a 50-yard field goal, you know, on that possession. But that was their chance to get off the field.
Yeah.
And they had Kellen Mond perfectly. I mean, it would have been a 1-yard game because there, you know, Scoot is right there.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Give is to Alex Collins, straight up the middle, and Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas, 80 yards.
Going to be getting into the best and the worst of the weekend here in just a second, but we got a few people that have been texting into the Cherokee Casino Hotline. This one comes from the 501. Actually, it's Mark D. putting his name there. He says, Hicks' demeanor was impressive last Saturday. He had that calm, confident look in his eyes that had to give them a boost of their own confidence, especially on that last drive. And, you know, that's the thing, is that with anytime the backup quarterback has to come in, it's always a little dicey, but, you know, Tommy, you brought up the Tyler Wilson coming in for Ryan Mallett, even though it was a smaller scale, but still played well when Austin Allen had to come in for Brandon Allen in the Ole Miss game of 2014 when Arkansas ended up winning 30-0. He had a big sizable lead, but he still played well enough and ran the offense. This just shows you how important it is in preparation to make sure that the next man up mentality, or making sure that even your guys that you don't want to have to play in there unless it's a victory formation type of situation. You got to make sure that they're ready. So having Ben Hicks ready and having him cool, confident, and collected, and also having him be a guy that's been around a while was very important and really big for Arkansas and winning and getting close in this game, but unfortunately did not come up with the victory. All right, let's go ahead and get into the best and the worst of the weekend.
It was the best of times. It was the worst of times.
We the best.
This is the worst.
It's time for the best and worst of the weekend.
All right, it is time for the best and the worst of the weekend, brought to you by Sassy's. They have some great food options. Years talk about it a long time. Apparently, one of the waitresses there doesn't know my name. It's okay. Nope. She was probably new.
Again, remind all of us, what is the John Neighbors special that you keep promoting?
The John Neighbors special
that nobody at Sassy seems to know anything about
is when you get the barbecue nachos, which is my favorite, but instead of just giving it as it is, you add the combination of both chicken and pork.
Oh,
you know, it's kind of like when you go to a Mexican restaurant with fajitas and you get mixed of chicken and beef. Yep. This is the same thing. Yep. Call it the John Neighbors special. Ends up being great.
Now, I was talking with Alan, great guy, you know, runs things there at Sassy's. He told me that the nachos are going to be named the Clay Henry nachos very soon.
Yes.
This is in the works. that he had been, you know, really considering this for a while, actually. Mm. So could be the Clay Henry special soon.
Sure. That might get him a free ad in Hogs Illustrated.
Well, that might be bribery.
Well, you know, I'm sure that it will come hand with, you know, some flaxseed and some prunes to go along with it as well.
Prune nachos.
That's going to be the case if it ends up being Clay Henry. But that's okay, because right now, you don't have to worry about prunes or flaxseed or anything like that if you get the barbecue nachos. But if you want some great catfish, they have that. They have great burgers, award-winning smoked wings.
Best catfish on Weddington, I'm told.
That's right. So
brisket is awesome, too.
And brisket, when you put it in tacos especially, it's always great. So no matter what type of food you're looking for, lunch and or dinner, Sassy's has you taken care of with their two locations in Fayetteville, off of College and off of Weddington. All right, I'm going to go ahead and kick us off with our best of the week. And again, me and Tommy kind of have a joint one in this one.
Oh, yeah. You're going to love this story.
Yeah, this is a good story. We'll try to translate it the best way we can. So anyways, on Saturday, me and Ty and Tommy, we'll all go over to Tommy's house to watch the game on his outdoor living space or whatever you call it. Mm-hmm. And we're watching the game, and he's got a few friends out there as well. We're just sitting there kind of kicking back. Well, anyways, once the game ends, or as soon as the game ends, what game comes up? The Alabama Ole Miss game,
right?
CBS at 2:30. So that game's kind of on, and what was the name of the guy that was with us, Tommy, that was there? What was his name?
Dustin,
that's right.
Dustin was there.
So Dustin is, the game has just started for Alabama and Ole Miss. Alabama gets the ball on the kickoff, and it ends up, 5 seconds gets ticked off the clock. So 14:55 left to go in the first quarter. Dustin just comes out and says, I bet $20 that Alabama scores within the first minute of the game. $20. Just boom. $20.
And our man Ty just jumps on it like a dog on a ball.
And he says,
I'll take that.
Yeah, he's like, I'll take that bet.
That's not bad.
No, you know. I don't blame him for taking that bet, because that's a pretty large stretch.
14:55 is important here.
Yes, it is. So with 14:55, they got to score within the first minute. Score a touchdown within the first minute. So a couple plays happen here and there. They get a good completion and whatnot. And how long
run out of bounds at 14:01?
Because
if they'd have stayed in bounds, the clock would have
run
and been under 13:55. And and Ty would have won the bet, but they ran out of bounds and gave one more play with 14:01 on the clock.
And honestly, when I'm watching this and I'm seeing how Alabama is going methodically down the field, I'm like, oh, well, you know, Ty's probably going to win this because Alabama's offense, yeah, they're not looking strong here in the first couple of plays.
The scoring in the first minute's a mighty big ask.
Yes,
any team.
But at the same time, though, if any team is going to do it, to be Alabama.
This wasn't a score in the first series bet. This was a score in the first minute.
So, with 14:01 left to go in the first quarter, Tua completes a pass to Devontae Smith for 74 yards to the house on a touchdown, to which Ty, unfortunately, had to give up $20 on a loss bet.
Dustin's reaching for his wallet. He has the $20 bill in hand. He is removing it from said wallet to hand to Ty when this play...
He was a man of his word.
Yeah, this was over. He knew he was beat. And Alabama comes up with a prayer that crushed Ty Richardson. It was worth it. I almost wanted to give him 10. Just it was worth it for the material for the show.
That's right.
I'm not going to give him 10, but it was.
It's okay. I'll expense it.
Yeah.
well, you saw the whole group get up and cheer because like, I couldn't believe it, and then we just see Ty get a drink and just, you know, throw Henry Rowan Gardner it over there into the yard out of just sheer anger and frustration. So. But you paid the man.
I would have protested this because the play started with 14:01, yeah, but it finished after 14, right, Ty?
It's a principle bet, though, Clay. Like, that's a better principle. Yeah. Well, so, not to mention I predicted my own demise. As I'm making the bet with Dustin, I've said, I bet Devontae Smith takes a slant to the house within a minute. Sure enough, about 55 seconds later, that exact thing
happens. It's the worst beat I've ever seen.
Yeah.
This is going to say a lot about how much respect and love you have for Ty. Is that the best of the weekend or the worst?
And that was the best.
I think that's the best of the weekend.
I'm sorry, Ty. He just answered my question.
Yeah, that had to be the best of the worst.
I felt bad for him, though, because it should have been
odds. I would say that'd be my worst. Yeah, but I mean,
it should have been his 5 against 20. It should have been odds on something like that. But, hey, well, Ty's the one that jumped out of his chair to take the bet.
Yep. So, yeah, Ty was a man of his word and paid the man $20. Yeah. So we're all
I'm
good
just
there.
Glad he had 20.
Well, he had to Venmo it.
Yeah, you know, that's what the millennials do.
I don't carry cash, Clay.
Cash is for suckers and old people, so nobody does that anymore. So me and Tommy have the joint best of
nobody
the week.
Nobody carries cash?
No, not anymore. Not anybody that I know, at least. And if they do, it's by accident. Or it's just easier to go to the bars and put it in the jar instead of having to worry about your credit card information getting stolen. So that's really the only reasons why, just to let you know, Clay. Trying to help you learn. Hey, all right, Clay, since we gave our best of the weekend, what was your best of the weekend?
My best was Friday night, Saturday night at Oktoberfest in downtown McKinney with my wife. So we went down Friday. We do this every year and stay in the Grand Hotel. There's about 20 antique stores around there that Gene Ann likes. And, hey, I did the twist. So danced.
Is there a video of this?
You were in Club Dub.
Is there a video of this, Clay?
No, there wasn't. There was no Club Dub. Oh. It was on the streets of downtown McKinney, and my wife wanted to do the twist, and so we're over to the side. It was in a very dark area, so I knew there would be no video, and nobody knew who I was. So I'm pretty confident there is no video of this. Mm. So that's the best that for the first time in 40 years of marriage, I danced with my wife. How's that?
For the first time? Not even on your wedding night?
Wedding night? I don't think there was a dance, no. Really? No, there was a dance. We got married in a Baptist church. There was definitely no dance.
I got you.
Well, for those of you listening in, if you do have video of this, Restaurant Neighbors,
we'll pay.
Twitter account that you can DM me that.
Hey, one more best of the weekend. How about the Cardinals winning the division? I know you don't care,
Who
John.
Who cares?
A lot of people listening
cares. That's good news.
And they crushed the Cubs to do it.
Oh, good. So they can get swept by the Braves.
Braves and the Dodgers are going to be hard outs. Any question. Yeah. Particularly the Dodgers. So, but another division for the Cardinals. So,
are they still the best fans in baseball?
It's a great baseball town. I don't know why you are so down on it when it clearly is one of the best baseball cities in all of America.
It's just the mentality that I hate, that they think that they're better than everybody else's self-proclaimed best fans in baseball. That I hate when people do that.
All right.
Like, it's again, nothing against the organization. It's just I've had a bad sour taste in my mouth from the fans I've been around is all.
Right.
That's all I'm saying.
But you do realize and recognize you live in Cardinal country, right?
Yeah, I live in Cowboy country, too, but I'm not a Cowboy fan. That's true. So, hey, listen, I'm just going to congratulations. Right. We'll see how you do against the Braves and all that. But, yes, there you go. All right, so the worst of the weekend. Mine's real quick. I have a dog. His name's Rowdy, and I'm sure if you've listened to the show or follow me on social media, you know what he looks like. I love my dog. And so anytime you get a dog, I'm sure it's the same – not the same way. I'm not going to try to compare it to kids. But and you see another dog go through something or you see a picture, a viral video or something, you always get a little touched in the feels, all right? Touched in the feels about a dog. Well, anyways, you had Auburn and Mississippi State playing over the weekend, Tommy. And, of course, Auburn was just wrecking Mississippi State from the get-go. Well, on a touchdown play, one of the first touchdowns of the game, I believe, is that Auburn player was running into the end zone and he was kind of pushed to the out of bounds. He ended up scoring the touchdown. We flew out of bounds, and he hit and collided with Bully the Bulldog from Mississippi State. And I felt horrible because Bully the Bulldog didn't do anything wrong. He just got hit, like decked by a football player. Now he's fine.
I heard he was in concussion protocol.
He's day to day. We'll see. He's listed as doubtful. But, you know, when he got hit, though, the greatest thing was his reaction, of course. He got put on his hind legs and he was about to tack. Now, luckily, he did not, because that would have been a whole deal where the mascot of Bully the Bulldog would have gone away if he actually attacked an Auburn football player. But
they would have checked him for rabies, the whole works.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
It would have been bad news bears. But I felt bad for old Bully the Bulldog. He was just hanging out, minding his business, and he got decked by an Auburn football player. And
the Auburn football player did slide.
Yeah, I mean, he slid right. And listen, it wasn't intentional or anything like that. But I will say, though, that there's something about Bulldogs and Auburn Tigers that just don't get along. Because if you remember a few years ago, Tommy, the Georgia Bulldog went up and tried to bite the Auburn Tiger player. Missed. But, I mean, the Bulldog jumped up in the air and tried to nip him and didn't get him. So, as a dog person, I see that. I'm like, oh, man, poor Bully the Bulldog. But he's fine. They say he's okay. But, you know, it's just make sure that your mascots aren't anywhere in the vicinity, man.
Doesn't Auburn play LSU this week?
Is it this week?
No, I don't think it's this week. When Auburn plays LSU, you don't want to be an Auburn player sliding into
the Tiger.
You don't want to be doing that.
Florida
this week.
They don't have a live alligator, though, do they?
I don't know, but you don't want to be sliding into a Tiger.
No.
He's in a glass cage.
Mike's
behind
in
bars.
His cage behind
I know,
the stadium.
Still.
Yeah, not going to happen.
I'm not getting close to that.
I still don't want to do that either.
I don't even want to mess with Tusk. And Racebacks are mean. Or I guess he's a boar, but still. I don't want to mess with any of those mascots. But poor Bully the Bulldog, glad he's okay, but that's my worst of the week.
Yeah,
I think they'll probably make sure Bully's not down on the sideline. I mean, you can have him in the pregame look where he's standing, but in the Eagles on the guy's shoulder or something, and the Bully's down on the ground. I think I saw that shot at some point, and Bully looks up there and is like, man, you come down here and I got you. You know, you better stay up there, Mr. Eagle.
So my worst, I don't know if this is a what's your beef early edition or worst of the weekend, but we're getting to that point where you can watch what you mentioned. We watched the game outside. Yeah. You can use your outdoor living space a little more. Watched NFL basically all day yesterday, all the way through the end of the Cowboys and Saints last night. So, you know, Monday night's going to be a great night for Monday Night Football. So I look up who's playing. And this is what I found with my worst of the weekend. Playing at Monday night. The 0-3 Bengals against the 0-3 Steelers. That's your Monday Night Football.
It's a barn burner, baby.
God almighty. What has happened to Monday Night Football? I mean,
their problem is they schedule it.
They don't have the flex like the Sunday night.
Yes.
Yeah, it's just terrible. So, I mean, that was really the worst thing. My worst of the weekend is realizing the Monday night game is going to stink tonight.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to get a win, but somebody's going to go 0-4 too.
Imagine if they did that in college football where the game of the week was decided before the season started. And I know that this, you know, it's not like they want to do it that way. Scheduling and all that comes in hand, but man, could you imagine? It was like two ranked teams that were in the top 10 ended up being completely and totally overrated. And by the time you get there, you got a 2-4 team going up against a 3-1 team. It's just, it wouldn't be good.
Yeah.
But no, I get it. I get it.
Another best of the weekend. Did you see the little quick video of Jerry Jones after the game, after the Arkansas game?
Yeah, man.
Flew to New Orleans. And he was the man down in New Orleans on Saturday. Did you see that video?
Oh, yeah.
It had over a million views.
Hanging out on Bourbon Street.
Down on Bourbon. I mean, that was pretty awesome right there. He just loved it. You can see the grin on his face as the crowd was chanting, Jerry. It was like
It's like the Jerry Springer
show. It's like the Jerry Springer show, exactly.
Yeah. No, listen, find me some other owner that does that of an NFL team that likes to party that much.
Yeah.
That knows that, hey, his
best owner in professional sports.
His Razorback football team just got done playing. Yep. His Dallas Cowboys are playing, in, obviously, in New Orleans, right. So you had that, but...
Hop on the jet, short flight to New Orleans. Here we are.
Yeah, but he ain't getting into the hotel room to get up bright and early and make sure he's ready for the game. He's going to make sure he has a good time. Yeah. So, yeah, that was great.
That was pretty good.
Clay, do you have a worst of the weekend?
Yeah, I'm walking into the stadium, and there's all these Texas A&M co-eds, and they're just in a big mingled mass, and I'm trying to get through them. And I couldn't. I mean, they would not part. You know, where I could walk through them, and there are like 80 of them, and they're just in a little, they're Aggies being Aggies. They've got their phones out, and they're just bumping into each other. They couldn't even, they didn't know where they were going, where they were supposed to be. And I was trapped in the middle of them, and it was just but every one of them are looking straight down in their phones, mm-hmm. not knowing where they're going to step or where. I was like, ladies, get off of your phones. In part, so I just like parted the Red Sea. I had to kind of the Maroon Sea.
Yeah,
I mean, it was just really sad, and it's like, surely y'all are in engineering school and y'all know to not to look at your phone while you're walking. I mean, just, you know, it's just like
how people walk off cliffs and stuff.
I mean, yeah. Can you imagine what it's like walking across a campus at Texas A&M with all those? You know, I mean, it was really, and I was so frustrated. I mean, can you feel it? Can you feel my frustration? I mean, it's like
slightly
coming through the speakers.
Yeah. So yeah, that's my bad.
Well,
it's young people in their phones.
Clay, when I was at the student at the U of A, that's how it was. Everybody had their earbuds in, listening to music, and when they're on their phones. The worst thing about it is when they would just not even check both ways at a crosswalk because they're like, oh no, I have the right of way, and just whoop. Just walk on out, not even think anything, and almost had a few wrecks that way and almost had some bad news. But, yeah, that's just everybody in general. Then, of course, you had the pantless wonder there that was caught on, that went viral on social media. Yeah. The Arkansas fan that wasn't wearing pants. All right.
I've been told by some females that would know the female, that was a romper, that she was just reaching up.
That was something. So, I don't know the fashion these days.
People don't need to be attacking her on social media.
Do you know romp? You know what a romper is?
Not really. I'm just repeating what I was told by some females around my house.
Is a romper like a nightgown?
No, it's like a onesie almost. Yeah. Like it's like, I don't know. It's hard to describe.
Like a onesie with a short skirt type deal. I don't know.
Apparently, it's all the rage these days. So they have male rompers, Tommy, if you want.
I'm out.
Okay. I don't think they have one in Columbia PFG, so you probably won't.
Probably not something you want to fish in.
I mean, I'm into Orvis, so they probably don't have one for Orvis, right?
Orvis?
It's another brand of fishing attire.
Oh, okay. All I know is, I know you have Magellan. You wear Magellan, right?
Nope.
Oh.
Nope.
Just Columbia PFG.
Columbia, Under Armour, pretty much it.
At least you're brand loyal.
Yep.
I'll give you that. Let's squeeze in a quick phone call here in the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Ben is in Fayetteville. What's going on, Ben?
Hey, guys. Talking about what's bothering you or your beefs or whatever, I think... What bothers me is, number one, the loudest cheers in the Razorback A&M game were on opposing team penalties. That seems to be the trend at the U of A now, loudest cheers for penalties. Number two, I think people are just getting comfortable with this loss or losing. The exception of mediocrity, I mean, you lose to a bad team last week, you lose again to a better team this week, and people are just writing this off as we've achieved something, or we're growing better at the way we lose, or we're losing closer. And I think just that level of mediocrity is it's infectious, number one. But I think secondly, it's disgusting. I can't accept losing like this and continuing to lose. I mean, how can we accept not winning an SEC game since November of 2017? You know. And if you think that we've got any on the horizon that look like we can win, I'll be surprised. But that's kind of what's bothering me. That's what's under my skin, is the comfortability with losing. And, of course, the loud cheers on opposing team penalties. I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, guys. Have a good week.
Appreciate it, Ben. I don't know if the loudest cheers I saw were opposing teams' penalties, but listen, I don't think anyone's accepting losing or comfortable with losing, and I don't think even Chad Morris is not comfortable with that performance and still, because they still lost. But the fact of the matter is that you performed better than you have all season long. Can they build on that? That's going to be the key question.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod at hitthatline.com.